Welcome to Ahead of the Curve, the Scoliosis Experience podcast, where my aim is to empower individuals with scoliosis and movement professionals alike by providing free, up-to-date information on scoliosis management and treatment. My goal is to improve the quality of life for those with scoliosis and equip movement professionals with the knowledge and skills needed to effectively support them. Welcome back to Ahead of the Curve. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Teed, and today I'm going to be talking to you about bracing for scoliosis. I'm going to be covering a few questions. When is bracing needed? Do they do it for adults? What are some of the expected outcomes you can anticipate while you're bracing? And what kinds of PT or exercise should you be doing when you're braced? And then I'll finally wrap up with whether or not I think bracing is helpful in general. A little catch up before we jump into today's topic. I just got back from a trip to California, and I was there for the in-person portion of a mentorship I did with Anna Hartman, the Movement Rev, and it was a wonderful experience. I learned a ton. I learned a ton before I even got there from her, and I'm still not through all the material. I was actually kind of stressed about it because I opted for the self-paced option of the mentorship so that I would be able to go at my own pace. And naturally, I overcommitted myself and did Missy Bunch's mentorship as well at the same time, which was the functional neurology. And that was a live mentorship. So I was meeting regularly with Missy and the group, and the self-paced option, I was going on my own. So anyway, long story short, I was panicking a little bit before I actually got to the mentorship last weekend, and because I didn't get through all the material, I was kind of trying to initially. The last couple of weeks I've been trying to get through as much material as possible, but there's so much material, which is an amazing thing, that I didn't get through all of it. And I was stressed that I would get to the mentorship and people would be understanding things that I didn't get to, when in reality, it actually worked out because there was a variety of people who were there. There were some people that were there that weren't in the mentorship at all and had taken the assessment, the LTAP, the locator test assessment protocol, which I took in Miami last March, something. I can't remember. I think it was March, last March. So around this time last year, I took that assessment. And then, so there was a mixture of people that were there. So it all worked out really well. And it was cool to learn from different practitioners there. So there were Pilates instructors, massage therapists, physical therapists, athletic trainers. And I think that having a variety of different practitioners there really adds something to your learning experience, because we all approach our interactions with our patients and with our clients differently. So there was something to learn from everybody that was there, and everybody's very inspiring that was there. They have their own businesses, some of them, and they're pelvic floor therapists. So just a variety of people. And of course, it was amazing to learn from Anna again. I feel like I could just listen to her all day long, every day. And I still wouldn't know all the information that's in her brain. It's crazy. She is one of the most intelligent people that I've ever met. And she explains things in a way that you're able to digest it. So I just loved it. Anyway, so I'm feeling on one hand very refreshed from that experience, but on the other hand, it was in California and I live on the East Coast, so I am suffering from jet lag pretty significantly, pretty severely right now. So anyway, it was also a time change because of daylight savings time. Lots of things. So bear with me during this episode. I will be struggling my way through it. So what I want to start with is just a little bit of a history on the background of bracing. And I think that you may find this interesting. I found it pretty valuable to have an understanding of how all the different braces developed over time and how we came to be the way that we are right now with the braces that are in use right now. So bracing used to not really be a thing. It used to be actual casting that would happen. And obviously, when you're put in a plaster cast, like think about a cast that you would get for your arm, you're not really able to use that arm while you're in the cast. So when somebody is casted for their scoliosis along their torso, it is super, super heavy and you can't move about really at all. And this person would basically be in a hospital bed for weeks and months at a time. And it was pretty debilitating and uncomfortable, obviously. So that is how bracing began. And then it developed over time. And what I found funny or interesting, I'm going to have the history of bracing. It's like a little, it's a research paper basically, that goes through the history of bracing over the years. I'll have that linked in the show notes. But what I found interesting as I was reading through that is that the majority of the braces changed because of patient complaints or refusal to wear the brace the way it was. So there were a few different braces that were in between the plaster brace and the Milwaukee brace. I'm going to skip over those because otherwise we'll be here all day. The Milwaukee brace was the first modern brace as we know it. And there were titanium rods. They're metal rods along the sides of the brace. And then there's leather straps that fasten around the brace to position the curve in a more neutral position. And it extended from the hips the whole way to the chin. And you can imagine how one might not want to wear that in school or feel uncomfortable about wearing that out in public. So compliance with wearing that brace was really, really low. The brace itself was on the right track because it included the hip and that chin strap. So it actually accounted for some jaw misalignment, which Dr. Laura and I talked about in our tongue tie episode. And that is definitely a strong consideration in the development of scoliosis. But if no one is wearing the brace, it's pretty pointless to continue to push that brace without trying to develop something that is a little bit more functional than people would want to wear. The next brace that was formed was the Boston brace. And that brace, it surrounds the torso and there is an opening in the back with the fastening in the back. So that is not very patient friendly, because you always have to have somebody help you in and out of that brace I mean, you can probably do that yourself, but it's not going to be tight enough that the scoliosis is being contained. And compliance with that brace was not the greatest, and it also is not the most effective brace because of that opening at the back. If it's not perfectly tightened and fastened, then the scoliosis is going to continue to scoliose and escape and go the route that it wants to go and do what it wants to do. The most effective brace that we have for adolescents is the Rigaud Chanot brace, and that includes the pelvis and the shoulder, and it's a lightweight brace. The fastenings are, the Velcro fastenings are in the front or the side of the brace, and that makes it easier for the patient to get in and out themselves. There are openings for the hollow spaces to transition into, and then there's pads against the convexities or the prominences that help to derotate and bring the spine into more of a neutral position. I will say that compliance is still not the greatest with these braces. It is much better, and the intention of those braces is to reduce the curve or completely eliminate the curve, and they were created for adolescents. While the child is still developing, they're wearing the brace. Now, the reason for bracing, you have this zone of curve degrees where bracing is the most useful, and this is over 25 degrees and then usually up to 45 degrees or 40 degrees. The goal is avoiding surgery at this point. There's some reasons that bracing can be less effective, and one of those reasons is people tend to dissociate when they are wearing that brace. And I've seen it in my clients. I've talked about it with some of my colleagues who have been braced, where they don't remember that time in their life. It's a pretty traumatic time to be braced for multiple reasons. You're just in this period of time where you feel pretty out of control. And that is a reason that bracing may not be the most effective. So one way to try and come into yourself while you're being braced and connect with your body is to be very purposeful with this. So this alone, like just bracing, giving somebody a brace and then just letting them go and not giving them any sort of therapeutic treatment. So that could be corrective exercise, that could be counseling, that could be just education about their curve. It's not going to be as effective as if you're giving this child all of those resources. It's important that the child understands all the reasons why they're being braced and the importance of complying with their exercises, complying with wearing the brace. All of those things will help to have a more successful outcome in the long run. And I think that something that can be very helpful is actually embodying their body. So taking the time out of the brace to fill up space, because that brace is so compressive on purpose to place the spine in more of a centered alignment. So the time spent out of the brace is very, very important to be doing breathing exercises. So expansive breathing, Schroth breathing. That's one thing that is super powerful. Understanding what their curve is doing is also very important. So the time that's spent outside of the brace trying to be in an elongated position and a balanced position in sitting and standing and in their activities of daily living when they're outside of the brace. And additionally, having that understanding for when they're in the brace. So the brace can actually provide some pretty cool feedback if you're really like, you have the understanding of what your curve is doing. And then when you're in the brace, you have those pads and openings, and you can think about moving away from the pads and moving towards the openings independent of the brace. Okay. So that creates a mind and body connection to build that proprioceptive awareness. So proprioception is knowing where you are in space, having body maps in your brain of the different areas of your body so that you can be engaged with yourself and not dissociated from your body. Another way to be doing this is experimenting with movement. So connecting it, I find that dancers tend to do really well with bracing and with their corrective exercise because they spend so much time exploring movement in every plane of motion, in every direction. And that helps to build these brain maps in their brain, body maps in their brain of their spine so that they're able to find that neutral alignment. And if they don't do that, that can be pretty hard. And I find that people don't do very well in braces when they have the brace on, they're just hanging out. They are resting on the pads and letting the brace do its job. You can still see change and see improvement in the alignment, but I would guess that these are the adults that backslide and their curve progresses later in life because they don't know. Like once they're out of the brace, they're like, whoa, where am I? So that is probably the most important element of bracing is having the additional education and additional therapy to know where you are in space so that you can then begin to find your more stacked position. And I don't think I mentioned this already, but I was not braced as a child, so I'm not speaking from personal experience with any of this stuff. I want you to know that I'm speaking from research that I've done, interactions that I've had with patients, colleagues, and reading papers about that, all those things. So, I'm trying to think. Oh, so adult bracing. See, sorry. The last thing I'm going to talk about here is adult bracing. Now, there's a few different braces that are offered to adults. There is like a soft brace that you Velcro around your body. And then they finally are offering more firm braces with the fiberglass brace for adults. So it's more like the Rigo Chanot brace. Align Clinic actually does bracing for adults. They are only in a few places in the country, so it is not the easiest unless you want to fly or drive a long distance to get to them, but I think that they are expanding. I find soft braces in general, especially with adolescents, they are not going to do a whole lot to counter that curve and bring you into that neutral alignment to load the spine more symmetrically. So for children, I really don't recommend using the soft brace because that curve is always going to try to escape somewhere. So it's just going to continue to want to scoliosis. And adults, I have found that they provide some comfort. So the soft brace does provide a little bit extra support in somebody's workday. So if you're having to do a lot of sitting, it can be really helpful to as just a reminder, okay, I'm, just kind of falling into my curve a bit. So it's a reminder of, okay, I need to, a little bit of a trigger to bring yourself back into that stacked alignment. And then the firm brace, it can be helpful for helping to provide pain relief. So, if somebody experiences a lot of pain, they have a lot of kyphosis. So, kyphosis means rounding of the shoulders and forward head posture. Bracing can provide the support that is needed for that pain relief. If somebody is doing a lot of standing throughout the day, I had a patient who had one of these braces and she would wear it when she would clean her house. And it was a really great tool for her to use. Just, here and there. She wouldn't wear it all day long every day, but she would use it when she was having to do these longer bouts of standing. And it really helped her to improve her function overall. And you can also wear it while you're building up the strength and endurance for doing those things without a brace so I just lost my train of thought. So you wear the brace while you're exercising, while you're doing the strengthening exercises, so that eventually you'll have the strength to be without that brace. So, overall, I think bracing is a really great tool when it is used appropriately. When you have a very supportive team who is monitoring things. So, having a scoliosis specific therapist, having an orthotist who is changing that brace, especially for an adolescent as they are growing, they want to make sure they're taking some imaging in and out of that x-ray to make sure that it's doing what it's intended to do. There have been instances where people are wearing ill-fitting braces and it's a bit de detrimental instead of helpful. So, having education about the curve is essential, I believe, to having success in long-term curve improvement and pain relief. I hope that you found this helpful. I'm sorry I was a little scattered for this episode. I am going to be doing a master class on scoliosis basics, and it's going to be free. So that is happening May. In May. I'm so sorry. I am like the worst. May 11th. And I'm going to be going through the basics of scoliosis specific exercise. So, learning how to stack the spine, learning about elongation, breathing, and then finally stabilization. And a I'm really excited about doing this. I think that I did this way back when I first started online coaching, and people really got a lot out of it. And then I got super busy and I haven't been able to do one of these classes in a while. And I think that it can be a lot of fun. So look for the link for that in the show notes as well to get enrolled and signed up for that. All right, that's all I got for today. Until next time, stay well and stay ahead of the curve.